Did I say Esther chapter 6? Yes. Amen. And then I think, Tiffany, you haven't been here before, have you? So you didn't stand up. Stand up and say hello, Tiffany. Just going to try and see. She's not going to let that fly. All right. Okay. Thank you, Tiffany. We just want to make sure you. That's it. That's all you get. Should have stood up during the visitors fellowship. That's all. So. No, but Tiffany's and Tamara's here, and then BJ and his wife Daphne, and I didn't know that Chris was his younger brother, and Chris is here. So it's good to have you all in the house. Amen. And BJ's a ball player, and his brother Chris is ball player headed off to college in a couple of weeks. Hey, Chris? So we'll be covering you in prayer playing ball at, what is it, Mississippi Valley State? Okay, so you chose Benedict College in South Carolina. Amen. Hey, when you're getting recruited, you're getting recruited. Amen. So it's great to have you here, man. We'll be praying for you and God to use you out there for more than basketball. Amen. Did I say Esther chapter 6? Okay. Let's start at I'll read verses 10 and 11. Then the king said to Haman, make haste and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse and arrayed Mordecai and brought him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighted to honor. So, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us through your word. Lord, allow it to jump off the pages into our hearts that we may apply it to our life. Thank you that your word is a lamp and a light, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway, Lord, as it illuminates the way, Lord. So we try our best to navigate daily, Lord, oh my gosh, through the spiritual landmines, Lord, as we try our best to navigate daily through this fallen world. Let us be led by your word, not by emotion. Let us be led by your word and not by opinions. Let us be led by your word and not by the culture. Let us be led by your word and not anything else. Speak to us now, Lord. Let it penetrate deep into our hearts, our minds, our soul, and our spirit, so that it will not only challenge us, but it will change us. We thank you and we bless you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As we have been reading through the book of Esther, and here we are in chapter 6, we're still talking about spirit-filled and spirit-sealed, but if I were to give this a title, which I normally don't, but just something that just hit my heart was, here we have Mordecai. He went from the gallows to grace. Amen. And God can take your life from the gallows, which is, he was pretty much on death's door, to an abundant life. Sometimes you don't see it. It's not where you are right now. It's where God is taking you. You can never judge your life by where you are right now. You can't. He went from the gallows to the grace of God, which is a beautiful thing. We look in verse 11. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse and arrayed Mordecai and brought him on horseback through the street of the city and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done unto the man who the king delighted to honor. Can you imagine how Mordecai felt? How Haman felt. He was coming to say, I'm going to kill Mordecai. And next thing you know, he's praising him throughout the street. He's praising him throughout the street. Just the shame, and he had to do it because the king told him, you need to go and do this. So he did it. It just goes to show that you cannot judge your life by where you are right now. Verse 12, and Mordecai came again to the king's gate. We talked about this last week. Mordecai went right back to the position of God. He didn't let it go to his head that he'd just been arrayed in all the king's apparel and on the king's horse. Sometimes the last thing we need is a little bit of attention. I remember working in ministry, and it was someone got promoted, and you didn't even recognize them because their head was so big it wouldn't fit in the sanctuary. They started treating people differently. It's like, wow, I mean, just a little bit of position, a little bit of power, and then we lose it. Mordecai didn't do that. He went right back to the presence of God. Verse 13, and at the end of verse 12, but Haman hasted to his house mourning and having his head covered. Remember, your head is covered with two things right now, either humility or pride. So two things your head is covered with. If it's covered with pride, you'll find yourself in a situation like Haman. If it's covered with humility, you'll find yourself in a situation like Mordecai. Look at verse 13, though. And Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh, his wife, unto him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail, or you should not succeed against him, but shall surely fall before him. Okay, now let's go back to look at 5. Look at Esther 5 and 14. Same people. 5 and 14. Then said Zeresh his wife and all his friends unto him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits. See, when he was walking around in pride and he was trying to kill Mordecai because Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him, his friends, he didn't have real friends around him. He had friends that were impressed with his title that didn't want to tell him the truth. You have to surround yourself with people that will tell you the truth. Amen. You can't just surround yourself with people who just say yes and tell you what you want to hear. That's the worst thing you could do. The worst thing you could do is surround yourself with a bunch of yes men or yes ladies who will be impressed with your title and won't tell you the truth. Compare, look at 5 and 14. They tell him to build the gallows to hang Mordecai on. But it's something missing from 14 that was in verse 13. He says, and Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends, everything that befallen him. Then said his wise men. Men, what were the wise men in verse 5 and 14? Where were the wise men? Men, you please surround yourself with some wise men. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And don't wait till your world falls apart before you have to seek out some advice. Don't wait till everything falls apart before you start looking for someone who's going to tell you the truth. Don't wait till it all falls apart. So here we are. They tell him the truth. He's going to fall before him. And while they were yet talking, verse 14, came the king's chamberlains, king's eunuchs, and hasted to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther had prepared. Wow. All of a sudden, the whole tone of Haman's life changes. Look at verse 5 and 11. Esther 5 and 11. And Haman told them of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children and all the things wherein the king had promoted him and how he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. We talked about the same thing that you're bragging about is the same thing that would take you out. Here he is. He's bragging about everything that he has. And now he's being taken away to the dinner or the festival, which he won't leave alive. And I go back and forth to show you how it started is not how it finished. That you got to see, you got to leave the God room so God can work in between. Here he is. He's talking about all the stuff that he's had. Haman is going to kill Mordecai. And then just a few verses later, the script has been flipped. And you and I don't know that we have the benefit of the word, but Mordecai didn't know that. And right now where you are in your life, you don't see how God is flipping the script in chapter 6:1. God only needed one night to turn everything around. That's all God needs. He doesn't need a lot of time. He changes everything in one night. And you and I, where we are right now, we don't see that night. We don't know if that night was last night or if it's going to be tomorrow night or if it's going to come next year. But you can believe that as you're following God, God will turn it around in one night. We have to stay the course. We have to stay committed to God. We have to leave God room so God can work, and we have to get out of the way. And if we're on the other side of the coin, where we're being like Haman and we're all filled with pride and we think that we're in charge of our life and that we have it going on, then we'll find out that we don't. And then all of a sudden, it's just not that fun anymore. Amen. That's how sin is. You know, we talked about it in our young ladies class this morning, how it takes you farther than you want to go, keeps you longer than you want to stay, yes, and it costs you more than you're willing to pay. We talked about it. We compared it to a riptide, and all of a sudden you were right here, and all of a sudden you way out in the middle of the ocean, and the shore looks so far away, and you way out, and God looks so far away. Ricky got caught in a riptide yesterday. That's why. So we thought we'd use that analogy today. All right. But you're so far out, and the crazy thing is you don't even know how you got that far out. You were just on the shores of life doing your own thing. Now you're so far God, you don't want to have nothing to do with God. And you don't know if you're going to make it back. Look at how it goes down. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 5. Look at Daniel chapter 5. Keep your finger on Esther. We're coming back there. Esther chapter 6. But take a look at Daniel chapter 5. And I just want to make the point that I don't care how it starts off. If it could start off good, and you all know, those of us who are a little bit older, we know how sin is. It starts off, you meet that person, you do this, you do, and it's all fun and games, and this is the best it's ever been. And then later on, you find out it was the worst decision I've ever made. And for our youngsters and those of us that are not so young, we're trying to teach you, don't play with sin. Don't even give it the time of day. It's not going to turn out good. It just doesn't turn out well. I don't care what it looks like, what it talks like, what it acts like, what it smells like, what it feels like. If it's not God, if it's not godly, then it's just lust wrapped up in sin. If it's not godly, because people tell you, hey, we love each other. If it's not godly, it's just lust wrapped up in sin. It's lust disguised as sin wrapped up in a pretty package with a bow on it. Ivy, is my mic on this morning? Okay. I'm telling you, I don't care. I don't care. Don't let people lie to you. The culture is trying to tell you if you love somebody, if you love something, then it's okay. But if it's love without the holiness, then it's just sin wrapped up in a pretty package disguised as lust interchangeably. That's all it is. Without God, that's all it is. And don't be fooled. All right, let's take a look. We're at Daniel chapter 5. Say amen. If you're there, say amen. All right. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. How is it that alcohol is always involved? Stay away from it. You can say, well, they're in the Bible, they're drinking wine. I'm telling you, yeah, that's cool, but I'm telling you, stay away from it. See, because Satan knows that if he can get control of your mind, then he can control your behavior. If he can catch you faded, then he can control your behavior. Tracy and I, we took our 28th anniversary, went away out to Denver. We got away for a few days, so it was really nice. And Manny, thank you for handling Wednesday night for me. I appreciate that, you and the rest of the team here. But it's just kind of crazy because, you know, in Denver, marijuana is like legalized. It's like cool to get high. You know, so you walk around and people, you know, you go by the park and they shooting dice and they getting high and all that. Wow, Denver. Oh, okay. So, but you got to see the trick of the enemy. If he can catch you high and faded, he controls everything that you do. You never recognize God. You think you got it going on because, fool, it's okay. We get high in Denver. Anywhere. Police don't even worry about it. Somebody getting high, it's legal. Recreational marijuana is legal. Get high. Boy, the enemy's a liar. You can buy into it. Okay, well, it's legal. I mean, think about it. You go in a liquor store and buy a fifth right now. Used to be a time when the liquor stores were closed on Sundays. Amen. You go right in there on the fifth. Not that it's cool to get drunk on Monday, but that's your thing. I mean, hey. I don't care if they sell it. You don't have to buy it. And the trouble with this king right here, Belshazzar, they're in the middle of they're right in the middle of a war. Just like we're in the middle of a spiritual war. They're in the middle of a war, and instead of him fasting, he's feasting. Man, you got to know what season of life you're in. You don't need to be feasting when you need to be fasting. Especially when you're in the middle of a war, especially when you're making decisions, especially when you got a family, especially when you have a wife, especially when it's a lot going on and you're in the middle of a war and you're feasting when you should be fasting. You got to know what season of life you're in, men. You got to get serious about something. So that's the first problem here. This guy is, instead of getting ready for battle, he's feasting and then he's starting to get drunk. And he's the man in charge. It always starts off good. It's cool. Yeah. Break out the bubbly. Amen. Okay. Belshazzar, verse 2. While he tasted the wine, he commanded. Underline the command. See that wine? You guys know cats get drunk, all of a sudden they get bold. Although he's the toughest guy in the neighborhood because he got some alcohol in him. Dude, you better kick back. Don't let that alcohol get your butt kicked. Okay? So here he is. While he tasted the wine, he started commanding to bring the gold and the silver vessels, which his father, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken out of the temple, underlined the temple, which was in Jerusalem, and the king and his princes and his wives and his girlfriends might drink therein. So they took the stuff that was in God's house, and they're making fun of God, and they start to drink from them. All right. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, underline that, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. Anytime you start taking something that was set aside for God and you start using it for you, you're in trouble. See, right here, they had vessels that they were drinking out of, but you break it down to us today, we are the temple of God. Oh, Pastor, you're getting deep. Yeah, I'm going to start meddling, too. So when you start taking your temple and you start doing anything that you want with it, you're headed for trouble. And you can blame it on the alcohol if you like, but that's still just an excuse. Yeah, I know they made the song Blame It on Alcohol. I've said it before. I'm telling you, stay away from it. Look what they did in verse 4. They drank the wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. Wow. That sounds like a pretty cool party. Y'all been to some parties like that too now. Come on. Don't get all quiet on me. Y'all partying and you're talking about all your stuff and you're drunk and you're having a good time and the music is playing in the background and it's just like, this is it. Doesn't get much better than this. And then we talk about the gods of gold and silver. Yes, we know them. And then of brass and iron, your car, your house, and of stone. You're just talking about all the stuff you got. And as if God doesn't exist, you've made that stuff your God. And you know, God doesn't have a problem with us having stuff. He just has a problem when stuff has us. And you thinking that stuff has made you something as opposed to God making you something. God doesn't have a problem with us having stuff, but when the stuff has you, that is a problem. So it's all going good. Then in verse 5, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand and that hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him. All of a sudden, it's not that cool anymore. That's where we get the term, the handwriting is on the wall. And his joints of his lines were loose, and his knees smote one against each other. He just fell way apart. And then he cried, verse 7, underline cried. How do you go from commanding to crying? You go from commanding to crying. What's in the middle of that? Alcohol, false gods, all that. You will go from commanding to crying. It will not be that funny anymore. It won't be that funny anymore. You and I, we can go and we can have fun and we can sleep around, and then we get that strange disease and it's it's just not that funny anymore. We go and we getting drunk and we're doing our own thing, and next thing we know we're addicted to drugs and alcohol, and it's not that fun anymore. Having a conversation with my son, little man was telling me while he came this summer to go to work on his internship with Major League Baseball, his buddy had to go to rehab. So it was it going in his fourth year of college, and you've partied so hard that now going into your senior year, you got to check into rehab at 2021. It's not that fun anymore, but you know, how many of us been to college? How many of us seen a college before? All right. Okay. All right. Man, I tell you, it is. You go there, it's partying, it's fun, it is. But it don't end like that when you come out and you all jacked up. That's why I tell parents, college is not the be-all. College is just a stepping stone, but you got to stay with God. We'll send our kids to college, and they'll be worse than when they were not in college. Come back drug addicts and all other kind of, you just add addicts, add it to it, all kind of its. But the culture makes you think because your kid goes to a certain college that they've made it. God says not so. Remember, the American dream is not less necessarily the godly vision for your life. Don't get caught up in this stuff. We bought into this American dream stuff and it's turning into a nightmare. Remember, America's only been here 239 years. On July 4th, they celebrated 239 years. That's it. And they've lost their way just that quick. That's why Christ, when we take communion, that's 2,015 years. It's really no comparison. Be careful who you listen to. Always discern what's going on. Here's this king. He thought he had it going on. And then look, verse 7. Then the king cried aloud to bring the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read the writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck. That's kind of cool. And shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. It's just not that funny anymore. What is going on in my life? I thought I had it going on. I got away from God, and now I don't know where I'm at. So let me call in the astrologers. First thing they asked the king was, what sign are you? Oh, I'm meddling this morning. Oh, yes, I am. Called the astrologers, Brother Raymond. They asked him, hey, king, what sign are you? Are you Cancer? You Aquarius? Let's figure it out. Praise the Lord, family. And see, why are you asking the one who looked to the stars? You got to look to the one who made the stars. I mean, you guys got to, you all be killing me with this what's your sign stuff, man. Y'all be killing me. You got to use that as a witnessing tool. Say, no, I don't really get into that because those are just the stars. I look to the one who created the stars. See, now you weird. But that's okay. You got to educate them. He called in the astrologers. What sign? They didn't know. They couldn't tell what God was saying because God created them. They didn't know. So don't ask me what my sign is. It's the sign of the cross. It's the sign of the empty tomb. That's what it is. The only sign you need to know is that tomb was empty. The sign, I haven't heard that. Ask next time. You're going to be in your job tomorrow. Or somebody going to get asked, what's your sign? Hey, and I tell you this. When you meet someone and they come up to you and the first thing, hey, man, you look kind of cool. Hey, what's your sign? You know that's somebody you need to, hey, deuces. I got educated. No, you're on the wrong page, bro. Sister, guys, you meet a girl and she want to know what's your sign. You need to get away from her. You need to witness and get away. Ladies, you meet a guy and he went, oh, baby, what's your sign? Are you Aquarius, a Capricorn? What's that? You need to float on and get on away from there, okay? Thank you, man. I knew somebody would get that. Tell them to float on. Float on with that stuff. I ain't into that. Tell them to float on. My old school folks, thank you. I'm glad y'all got that one. We'll explain it to the young folks another time. We're not getting into that stuff. Come on, folks. We got to be deeper than that. We can't be that shallow. Told them right there, the Chaldeans, the astrologers, they couldn't do it. This king had the same problem that Haman had, the pride. Let's go to verse, stay here, 5 and 17. I wasn't going to go all the way here, but I'm going to go here today. We have a little time, and we'll get back to Esther in just a minute. So he goes through all these other ones, and then finally, you know, it comes to Daniel, the man of God, who has discernment, who's been praying, who seeks God. They know that the spirit of God was in him. They call it, he had an excellent spirit, which was God's spirit that was in him. Daniel could interpret dreams because God had given him the power to do it. See, here we are in verse 17. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, you know, keep your stuff. I ain't into that. You keep them for yourself and give your rewards to somebody else. He said, I don't want the gold chain. I don't want all that other stuff. Keep it. But I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. Seek out godly advice. Make a note. Seek out godly advice, young folks, those of us that are not so young, those of us that are in the valley of decision, seek out godly advice. Stay away from that other stuff. Verse 18, O king, O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, a kingdom and a majesty and glory and honor. Who gave it to him? God gave. Highlight that, underline it, put a star by it, that God gave. Whatever you and I have, it is the grace of God that God has given us. We have not gotten it on our own. We couldn't even get up if God didn't give us the grace to get up. As we read on, we're going to see how God has given us the very breath that we just took and that we continue to take this morning. Amen. And he always has to go to his. Why does God always has to give us a history lesson of what he's done for us? Why are we so soon to forget? It's just like your parents. We have to sit you down. Oh, man. You know, I don't want to hear all that right now, but your parents always want to give you the history lesson. God has to give us the history lesson as if God is going to leave us after he's done so much for us already. As if he created us just to leave us. So here we are. He has to remind him of what God did for him. And see, that's the difference. This is what we call being unthankful. The other side of the coin is being thankful, where you wake up every morning, you thank God for all he's done for you. I'll never forget what God has done for me. You'll never forget. And you wake up every morning, despite what's going on, you thank God when you wake up. It's the opposite of this. God does not have to remind me what he's done for me. He should not have to remind you, regardless of what your life looks like now. Think about what God has done for you and where he has brought you from. And you have to be grateful. Verse 18, O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom and a majesty and glory and honor. Verse 19, bless you. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations and language trembled and feared before him, whom he wanted to kill. He kept alive. Who he wanted to set up, promote, he would promote. And who he wanted to demote, he demoted. Said God gave him everything. Verse 20, but... Watch out for the buts, literally and figuratively. Amen. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in what? In pride. There you go. Told you today your head is covered with either pride or humility. There's no way around it. If you don't humble yourself before God, then you'll find out the hard way. But when you do humble yourself before God, he'll lift you up. But when you walk around with pride, you're just waiting to fall. The word said pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. You're just setting yourself up because you didn't create yourself. God gave you everything that you have, the abilities, the gifts, the talents. If God didn't give us our right mind, we wouldn't even, those of us that have degrees, we wouldn't even be able to go get a degree. You couldn't even sit in class and focus if God didn't give you the ability to focus. You didn't get the degree yourself. God gave you the mind to go get it, the strength to get up out of bed to go get it, the favor to get into college, the favor with the professors to get out of college. I don't know about y'all. I don't know how I got. I don't know how I did. I'm gonna be honest. I don't know how I got out of college. I don't. The grace of God. That's all I can say. I'm sitting there like, I don't know what they're talking about. Stats class, finance. That stuff was ridiculous. I don't know how I got out. Guess the professor said, hey, get him out. He's been here 10 years. Get him out. Let him go. I don't know how I got out of college. I don't know. The grace of God, man. I'm not fooling myself. I don't know what y'all are doing. I'm not fooling myself. Verse 20, but when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed. He was thrown down from his kingly throne and they took his glory from him. Verse 21, he was driven from the sons of men and his heart was made like wild beasts. He actually lost his mind. Pride caused him to lose his mind. And his dwelling was with the wild donkeys that fed with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. He lost his mind and was living in the streets. He was homeless. He went from the kingdom to homeless because he turned his back on God. He ate grass. He hung out on the streets until he was able to recognize who God was, and he barely made it back. But look at verse 22, and it says, and thou, his son Belshazzar, you have not humbled your heart. It always comes back to the heart, though you knew this. You knew that your dad lost his mind because he turned his back on God, and you came up and did the same thing. You did the same thing. I don't care what your parents are doing, you stay with God. Sometimes we hate people so much we become just like them. You stay with God. I don't care who's doing what. You stay with God. Verse 23, but you have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and you and your lords, your wives, your concubines have drunk wine in them and have praised the gods of silver and gold, brass, iron, wood, and stone, which don't see, which don't hear, nor do they know, and the God whose hand your breath is. Somebody underline that. Just in case you thought you had it going on, you better understand that God has your very breath in his hand. And whose all are thy ways has thou not glorified? You refuse to give God the glory for your life. That's what he's saying. You so caught up in yourself that you refuse. You think that you've done it all. And you refuse to give God the glory. And you know what happened to your dad. You've seen God move in your life. You've seen what God has done, and you refuse to give him the glory. Verse 24, then was part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. All right, Daniel broke it down. See, the astrologers couldn't do that. They were still stuck on Pisces and Aquarius. They couldn't break this down like this. And then was it verse 25, and this is the writing that was written. Many, many tekel upharsin. This is interpretation of the thing, or each word. God had numbered your kingdom and finished it. Brother, you've done. It's not that funny anymore, is it? Tekel, thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. God has weighed out your life, and you're nowhere near it. But as the kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. That's not good news at all. You know, that's the conversation you don't want. Stick with God. You don't want to have this conversation. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Verse 30. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Dude, you're finished. I hate to tell you this, but because of pride, and I'm telling you, pride will kill a relationship faster than anything else. Pride will kill a relationship with your wife, with your kids, with your boss, with your job, with your siblings. Pride will kill it. Nobody wants to be humble. Well, you don't know what he did to me. You know, he's, who cares? Who are you anyway? Your head is covered with pride and not humility, and it's killing everything around you. It will kill a relationship faster than anything else. And you and I know from families and friends, and people don't speak to each other for what? For nothing. All because of pride. But we know that pride comes from an enemy, because that's what got Satan kicked out of heaven, because he wanted to be like God. And so he tries to have us take on that same character. Well, we got to be something and go against God. All right, let me finish verse 30. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Pride cost him his life. Let's go back to Esther. So I just wanted to let you know, it starts off good. Start off good with Haman. He talked about all this stuff. He's going to have these gallows built for Mordecai, because Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him. All the pride just comes out. He's going to know who I am. And all of a sudden, it's starting to change. Look at Esther 7:1, and then everything starts to shift. And look for the shift in your life, where God is starting to do things where it seemed like it was all falling apart, but some kind of way that one night experience caused everything to shift. And now you see the favor of God. You see the hand of God. Start looking for the shift in your life. And we start seeing it right here in chapter 7 and verse 1. So the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine. That's that wine involved again. I told you, stay away from it. What is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed, even to half of the kingdom. So we've got, they prayed and fasted in 4:16. And we talked about four things that we saw after they fasted. We have favor. We have authority. We have the that night experience was number three. Number four was God is preparing someone else, could even be your enemy, to bless you. And then here is five. Number five is continued favor. She still has favor after everything that's transpired. She still has favor. King said, whatever you want, up to half the kingdom, it should be performed for thee. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, somebody say amen. Amen. O king, and if it's pleased the king, let my life, listen to this prayer that she's praying, this sincere prayer, this heartfelt prayer. This is what she prayed for when she was praying and fasting, that she would get to this point. So pray specifically, family. Here was going on. When she prayed and fasted in Esther 4:16, she prayed and fasted, God, give me the opportunity to talk to the king with Haman there. Let me beg for my life and let the king kill Haman. She prayed specifically. When you're praying and fasting in the morning, don't just generalize your prayers. Pray specifically. What do you really want from God? We've gone over that before. What do you really want? So here's what she prayed. Verse 3. Listen to her heart. Hear her heart right here. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition. I need my life. Don't let me be killed. and my people at my request. Let my life and the life of my family members, Lord, save us. It wasn't a selfish prayer. She wasn't praying for stuff. She was praying for her life. She was praying for her family's life. Coming right from the heart. And that's what we got to pick up next week. Shucks. Oh, it gets better. Amen. I love the word of God. God lead. Let us bow our heads. God lead and guide us, Lord. Let us be clothed with humility, Lord, and not with pride. Let us trust you that you can do more with our life than we could ever do. Lord, let us trust you that as we would mess up our life, Lord, but you would bless us exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think of the right way with good success. The Bible talks about good success. There's good success and bad success. God, we want to have the good success, which means we're walking with you. And all the fool's gold that's out there, Lord, don't let us get caught up in it. As we look at these are kings, these are men of position, these are men with stuff, with authority. And they turn their back on God and they lose it all. Lord, don't let us have it all and have nothing at all because we don't have you. So, Lord, let us guard our hearts from things. Let us fill our hearts with you and your word and your spirit. So, Lord, I want to pray for anyone who's here today. You say, Pastor, my first step is accepting Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I've never done that. I need to know that I'm saved. I need to know that I'm rescued. I'm out there floating, but I don't have the life raft, which is Jesus Christ, who came to seek and to save those that are lost. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, might be rescued. God is not out to get us. So if that's you and you say, Pastor, I need to accept Christ this morning, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life. I need to get back on track. I'm way out in the ocean. I can't even see the shore. If that's you and you want to rededicate your life this morning, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you hear and you say, Pastor, I'm looking for a church home. I've been visiting. I've been coming by. I just need somewhere just to plant and where I can grow. The love of God, the love of the word of God, the spirit of God is here. Feel I can grow. If that's you, elevate your hand. Lord, how we love you on today. I'm going to ask my sister Maria to come up. Pray for rededication. Ask some of the ladies, you know how we do it, if you would come and cover her. So we rededicate this morning and we thank God for life. I remember when my sister, I don't know, she might have been 12 or 13, I sent them to youth camp with Maranatha Community Church. I saw my sister Aretha, Maria, my brothers Leon, Freddie go up and accept Christ at a young age. We all knew that God was real.
Yes.
We just thank God for those godly seeds that he planted in us back then when we had no idea what he was doing. So thank you, Lord, for Maria, her daughter Katie, grandkids, our mom who planted the God seed in us. Thank you for rededication, Lord. Thank you that where you have us now is no indication of where you're taking us.
Yes.
Your word says that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your word says that if we cover our sins, we should not prosper, but we confess and forsake, we should find mercy.
Yes.
So we're confessing and forsaking, Lord. We don't want to do it again. We're going to cut it out so we could live with covenant with you, which includes your mercy and your grace.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for another opportunity to get it right, Lord, as we all rededicate our hearts in some form or fashion.
Yes,
God, thank you. We love you. We bless you, Lord. Thank you for this life. Thank you for the lives that are here this morning. What a blessing. You love us in spite of ourselves, not because, but in spite of. We bless you, Lord. We love you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Just one last thing I want to do before we close out. BJ and Daphne, if you come up, because I know Daphne's going, taking a trip with the kids. And Brother Chris, if you'd like to come up, we include you in this prayer as well. So we just want to cover Daphne. You guys are driving to how far?
Louisiana.
To Louisiana, driving back to Louisiana. Come on, let's cover them. Where my family at? Let's cover them. I need some people up here to cover these family members. And Lord, we thank you for BJ and Daphne, Lord, and just thank you for leading and guiding them here, Lord, to be part of this South Bay Abundant Life family. What a blessing to have them here. Their daughter, Raven, their son, Noah. What such a blessing to this house that they are. Brother BJ and I have played ball for years, and his brother Chris, and God, who knew that we'd all be joined hands on this morning but you. But Lord, as Daphne and the kids are on the road, Lord, we want you to send your angels before them to cover them, Lord, to keep them, Lord. We don't take it for granted driving around the corner, let alone all the way to Louisiana, Lord. So, God, we're praying for them now. Cover them, keep them, guide, direct them from danger seen and unseen, from tickets, from law enforcement, from evil powers that are out there, spiritual wickedness, Lord, as they go across state lines from state to state. God, we're covering. Keep them alert. Keep them aware. Keep them away from predators and pedophiles and all kind of other crazy stuff, Lord. Let them have the best time in Louisiana with family, Lord. Let them have a blessed time. Let them be light and salt, Lord. Let them share the goodness, Jesus Christ, Lord. Brother BJ is here at work and at home, Lord. Keep him, cover him, his thoughts, his actions, his heart, his mind. Keep him from the evil one trying to influence him to do anything that's not godly, Lord, and it's out of character for him, Lord. Let him continue to walk even stronger with you as he's praying and fasting for his family daily. Oh, Lord, we thank you and we love you, God. We trust you, Lord, with our life. We trust you, Lord, with all that we do, from the little things to the big things. God, be in the midst of them. We have you on the prayer list, BJ and Daphne. Our women on Tuesday praying, our Wednesday night prayer, we got you covered. Those of us that are fasting and praying daily, more every morning, we got you covered. And we love you, and we cover you as a church family, and we thank God for you. We don't take you for granted. We love what you've brought and added to this ministry. It's a brighter place because you're here and your members here. And we thank God for you. And we cover you now. Thank you for bringing your brother Chris here today, Lord. And we pray for Chris as he goes to Benedict College to play ball. Lord, use him in a mighty way. Open doors more than basketball doors, Lord, for him. And all that you put in him, Jesus, let it come out. Let him be an ambassador for Christ as he's out there. all his gifts and talents and skills that you've given him, which are many, Lord. Let him use them for your glory. Let him remain humble and let you lift him up higher than he could ever take himself. Oh, we love you on today, Lord. We're so grateful. And we know that we are a blessed people because we serve a blessed God. Give us traveling graces, Lord, as we leave this place, but not your presence. We love you on today. So grateful and so thankful for what you've done in all of our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Stand to your feet. Give someone a hug.
Thank you for coming.
Oh, yes. Thank amen.
Thank you. Thank you. We're blessed with
it. Amen. Amen. Big B. Love you, man. Brother Chris, man.
Good seeing you.
Oh, man. Good seeing you, man.
Appreciate you, man. Give someone a hug. You are dismissed.
Be safe, man.